From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Honor AP, a length and a half. Authentic, rushy running on late. It will be Honor AP, a very impressive winner of the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
And Midnight Bizou, bounding past the Twin Spires. Six lengths in front with 100 yards to go. Motion to Motion's up into second. Serengeti Empress, nothing late. Under the wire, the magnificent Midnight Bizou.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
And now there's an eighth of a mile to the finish. Shotsky digs down on the inside. Monday morning quarterback. But here is Max Player on the outside to take over the lead in deep stretch. And Max Player will win the Withers by almost three lengths.
Castellan's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Castellan and Manny Franco, to win the Belmont Stakes.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and a very pleasant good morning to all of you tuned in throughout HRN Nation. Welcome to what promises to be another five-star edition of the Equine Forum, the show that launched this great network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have you with me for the next 2 hours. As always, you are listening live throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or you're tuned in digitally, and you're doing that with our live streaming or the podcast of the show at horseracingradio.net. In total, there will be seven graded stakes contested in the United States later today. Not surprisingly, five of those will be run at Saratoga, the other two at Del Mar, the two premier race meets that we have here in the country over the course of the summertime. Of the five graded stakes at the Spa, three of those are grade ones. You have the Ballerina, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint Division, the Test for the three-year-old fillies at seven furlongs on the main track, and the 151st renewal of the Midsummer Derby, the Traverse Stakes. Trainer Carlos Martin is going to saddle the defending champion Come Dancing in the Ballerina, and he's going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern Time this morning. You're going to hear from trainer Chad Brown, who sends out Country Grammar in the Traverse. He took time to visit with Anthony on Red Brand Radio yesterday. You'll hear that interview coming up at 8:50 Eastern. I'm going to share a cup of coffee with my good friend Sean Clancy from the Saratoga Special at 9 o'clock Eastern. Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union going to be here at 9:20. And jockey Manny Franco, who rode in his first Belmont Stakes about a month ago, and it was a winning ride aboard Tis the Law, who is going to be the heavy favorite in today's Traverse. Manny will be with me at 9:40. So a lot to get to over the course of the next couple of hours. We'll talk about the Traverse and that entire card at Saratoga in depth. Coverage, by the way, of the Traverse Stakes, you can hear exclusive radio coverage with us here on the network, begins 5:30 Eastern. Myself and Bobby Newman will take you through the Traverse and the Test Stakes, which is the race preceding the Traverse, Sirius 219, XM 201, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on our affiliates across the country. Head to horseracingradio.net to see a complete listing of affiliates and find out where you can tune in outside of the two Sirius XM channels you're listening to right now. That coverage at 5:30 Eastern is all presented by our friends at Twin Spires. Now, in a more normal year, if you will, the gates at Saratoga would already be open. Horse racing's version of the running of the bulls would have already taken place. Pretty much every picnic table would be spoken for. The line at the Dunkin' Donuts stand would probably be about 20 deep right now. And racing fans from all over the world would be milling around our nation's oldest racetrack, watching horses train, scouring through their past performances, reading the latest edition of the Saratoga Special, watching replays of previous Traverse Stakes that are being shown on the big screen in the infield and the television monitors around the track, and providing an early morning buzz that is unlike any other day in racing. It's a special time in a quote-unquote normal year. The forecast for Saratoga for that area today, go figure, picture perfect. Sunny, temperatures reaching the low 80s, track conditions should be fast and firm. It's the kind of Traverse Stakes day that you dream about. And as somebody who credits the 1989 Traverse for getting me hooked on this great sport, and as someone who has attended almost every Traverse Stakes since, it's hard to imagine the day beginning with silence and without that buzz. I love Traverse Day probably more than any other day of racing, but today just feels different. Surreal, eerie, pick whatever word you want to use to describe it. It's just a different vibe this year. And then you throw in the fact that the Traverse is usually the signature event toward the end of the meet, at the end of August. And you couple that with the fact that we're still sitting 1 month out from the 2020 edition of the Kentucky Derby, and the Traverse is now a Road to the Derby points race this year. And it's an entirely different vibe. The top two finishers from the Peter Pan, Country Grammar and Caracara, are back to take on the heavily favored Belmont winner, Tis the Law, in today's edition of the Traverse. Well, the Peter Pan and the Peter Pan winner, that's usually a horse that we're talking about coming back in the Belmont Stakes in early June, not the Traverse in August. It just feels different. It's a totally different vibe here in 2020, and it's not just the Traverse. I get it. The good news is that we're playing. We're playing this game. We're celebrating the Traverse Stakes, the 151st renewal on this 8th day of August 2020. And that's a big win considering everything that this world has been through over the past several months. We're going to see some outstanding older fillies and mares in the Ballerina. We're going to see some great three-year-old fillies in the Test Stakes today. We're celebrating everything that is good about this sport, even if we're doing it virtually without fans. And you know, I think for me personally, especially considering this is the Traverse, this is a day that I hold dear in my heart every single year, being able to provide the radio coverage of the race today and looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby 1 month from now when our team is together providing coverage of the Kentucky Derby, it means even more this year to me personally because of the fact that so many people can't be in attendance to watch the races. So you have two choices. You watch them on TV, or if you can't be in front of a TV, you're going to listen to us on the radio. And that's an awesome responsibility and one that we don't take lightly. And I am really looking forward to the coverage today at 5:30 Eastern time, and glad that we can find some way to help be your eyes, if you will, on the radio here later today. Now, here's my poll question. Tis the Law is going to be a massive, massive favorite in the Traverse today. There's no doubt about it. He is going to take all the money, and he should. He's even money on the morning line. Wouldn't be shocked if he goes off lower than that, maybe 4-5, 3-5. If Tis the Law doesn't win today's Traverse Stakes, which horse is the most likely upsetter? Keep in mind, we're talking about the Graveyard of Champions here. It wouldn't be the first time that we've seen a heavy favorite go down to defeat at Saratoga. So that's the poll question at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. If Tis the Law doesn't win today's Traverse Stakes, which horse is the most likely upsetter? And I'll give you a few choices. Uncle Chuck for Bob Baffert. You have Country Grammar, Max Player. Those are the three horses on the morning line that suggest they could be the most likely upsetters. And then the fourth category is other. And if you choose other, please specify. Let me know if there's a long shot in here you think is the upsetter outside of Uncle Chuck, Country Grammar, and Max Player. So there you have it. Go to @HRN on Twitter right now and let me know. I'll update the poll as we move throughout the show. But if Tis the Law doesn't win today's Traverse Stakes, which horse is the most likely upsetter? Is it Uncle Chuck, Country Grammar, Max Player, or other? Well, as I mentioned, plenty of Saratoga conversation coming up. I mentioned the win and you're in for the Traverse Stakes. You also have a points race at Ellis Park tomorrow, the Ellis Park Derby, which is a new addition to the schedule, obviously, with the way that the calendar has been shifted around. So plenty of Derby talk coming up this weekend here as well. When I come back after this first break, I'm going to kick off the show by talking about a stallion that is really starting to make his mark. And that's Caracanti, who's at Gainesway. I'll be joined by Michael Herner from Gainesway after this break. Again, Carlos Martin, 8:35 Eastern. You'll hear from Chad Brown right around 8:50. Sean Clancy at 9 o'clock. Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union at 9:20. And jockey Manny Franco wrapping up the show with me at 9:40. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The Kentucky Derby runs here. HRRN is your radio home for the Kentucky Derby, Saturday, September 5th. We'll bring you full coverage of the Run for the Roses, as well as all of the stakes on the Derby undercard. Plus, Kentucky Oaks coverage on September 4th, and our Derby countdown shows Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week. Don't miss a minute of the action. The Kentucky Derby, right here on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for a full schedule of events and to listen live.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
But there he goes. Ortiz can wait no longer. Independence Hall goes to the lead and doing it on his own. Sol Volante is now charging second. On the outside, No Getting Over Me is trying to come back third as they turn for home. Independence Hall trying to remain undefeated. Ortiz goes to work and he still has the lead, but Sol Volante runs at the leader on the outside. We're down to two. Independence Hall, the whip is out. On the outside, Sol Volante runs by the leader. It's Sol Volante in front and going away. Independence Hall settles for second. Very tight for third. Looks like Ajoui come from absolutely last. Gets up for third. Tis Right Time was fourth. Running time on the board, 142.60.
Sole Volante winning the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs earlier this year. A big, big effort from him. He's a son of Gainesway stallion Caracanti, one of a couple of greatest stakes winners from Caracanti's first crop of three-year-olds. I'll talk with Michael Herner from Gainesway coming up momentarily. We'll talk about Caracanti and maybe even touch on another stallion or two if we have time. But I want to remind you that racing is back at Woodbine. Don't forget about that. Our friends north of the border, home of the Queen's Plate. Yeah, what a great experience it is to be up at Woodbine. As a matter of fact, if you go to their website, woodbine.com, the main page says a new breed of experience, and it really is. Woodbine.com is where you can go to learn more about all the great racing and wagering opportunities at Woodbine, just in Toronto, Canada there. Boy, if you get a chance to make it up there when we can travel again, trust me, you won't be disappointed. Woodbine.com, the place to go. Well, Michael Hernan is with me now. I know he has been to Woodbine, and I know he has been to several tracks around the country, and probably because not only is he part of a wonderful operation at Gainesway, but he is also a racehorse owner and passionately involved in this sport. Michael, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Good to be back with you on the show. Super cool morning here. Unfortunately, lately I haven't been to many racetracks with the shutdown and the pandemic and so forth, but we certainly have good racing to watch later today, especially from Saratoga, so it'll be an exciting afternoon and some top horses on show.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Michael. I touched on it at the beginning of the program. It feels a little bit different this year. Well, a lot different, really, because you won't have fans at Saratoga. By now, you know, the gates would have opened and people would have run to get a picnic table. Every table would have been spoken for at this point, sitting here at 8:15 in the morning, and we would be getting ready for a spectacular afternoon of racing. We still are, but we'll have to do it in a different fashion here in 2020.
Yeah, well, it's the first year in many years that I'm not going to make it to Saratoga and spend, you know, quality time early in the morning going from Oklahoma over to the main track and back and forth. It's a special place, great atmosphere, you know, it's unique, and it's a shame we'll miss it. Let's just hope that things get back to normal next year and we can get on top of the pandemic and things get back to hopefully back to normal, because we sure miss it.
Well, as we were coming out of that commercial break, we heard Richard Grunder with the call to Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs this year, and Sole Volante getting the victory that day. He's one of a couple of graded stakes winners already for Caracanti in his first crop of three-year-olds. And, Michael, you have to be thrilled with the progress that Caracanti has made as a stallion. He is really hitting his stride right now.
Yes, he is. As they, you know, another crop of two-year-olds coming forth, the three-year-olds are running well. He's got, you know, he was a top horse himself, Mike. I went to Shantee to see him at Jonathan Peace's stable there with Flaxman's Alan Cooper, and we were able to work out a deal with Maria Niarchos and bring the horse to stud at Gainesway. He ran, you know, he's a top two-year-old grade one winner. Then he won the French Guineas like many of the previous Gainesway stallions, like Riverman, Irish River, Green Dancer, etc., all top stallions, and of course Blushing Groom. And then this fellow is from the female family, that his third dam being Miesque, herself dam of King Mambo, and he gets the Stormcat Speed top line through Bernstein, and he showed that speed very effectively in the Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita when he won in a great time of 1:32.4 from the 14 hole. But it's now over to his runners, and we're seeing plenty of ability there. He's an exciting horse. Obviously, they're superior on turf, and his pedigree is very strong. And we have an exciting filly, two-year-old, that is, that actually I'm happy to say a co-own named Spanish Love Affair, and she made a bit of a splash in her debut at Gulfstream Park. She won by 11. She came out of it in great order, and now she's pointed to a $100,000 stake at Gulfstream at the end of August. And Caracanti has several other two-year-old winners from this crop. So he's starting to make his mark, and I think the future is bright.
You know, Michael, we had the radio coverage of that Breeders' Cup win, and it was scintillating, to say the least. 1:32.4 the final time. It was back in 2014 at Santa Anita. And at that time, as we were getting ready for the show, there was a lot of debate as to the proper way to pronounce Caracanti's name. And we finally came to a conclusion and ultimately got it right. you said that when he came to stud, there was an educational process with breeders teaching them the right way to say Caracanti.
Yes, true. A lot of people, you know, or some certainly had trouble pronouncing it, getting their tongue around it. They didn't know much about the horse. His dam had been sent to Japan to foal when carrying him, so he carries the Japanese tag, and I think that might have added to it. But it's a very strong international pedigree. And yes, it was a challenge early on. People would come and say, can I see your new horse, or can I see, is it Cracker, or, you know, this kind of thing. So anyway, we got them through that. And once you see the horse and study his pedigree and so forth, but I think pretty much now people know who he is, and he gets a lot of coverage on TV through the exploits of his runners. So most people now have it down. It's Caracanti, and, you know, there's plenty of interest in him.
You know, Michael, it's one thing to make a splash with your first crop of three-year-olds, but now he has two-year-olds here, obviously, in 2020, and those two-year-olds are running well. You mentioned Spanish Love Affair and that 11th-length debut win at Gulfstream. That consistency and having the ability to carry it from one year to the next, much like we've seen with other stallions like Tappet, and I'm not comparing Caracanti to Tappet just yet, but that consistency is so important in a stallion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very competitive market. There's a lot of supply on the stallion ranks around Lexington. And yeah, and the market is, and breeders, you know, they want to see consistency and continuity of horses coming forward by a particular stallion. And, you know, we live in a world of what have you done for me lately? And this horse is producing, and he's a turf option. He's affordable. He's got all the credentials. He's a great physical. You got the Stormcat top line, and you got the great New Yorkos family on the bottom, third down being Miask. So, but you do need a continuation of form, and it's exciting to have some now two-year-olds. And Michael Stidham had a very nice filly win first time out, Colonial Downs, wired the field by six. She's a three-year-old, so I think she's got another definite stakes winner for the stallion. So he's going to continue on, and then, you know, we have good European interest in the horse. It's going to be a bit different this year. I don't know how many of them will be able to come over for the sales. That's a big worry. But there will be online bidding, and there can be bloodstock agent representation for those folks who can't make it to the sale, given the restrictions and given the required quarantine period, both here and when they return to Europe. So, but Caracanti's on the Europeans' list, and he had a good filly breeze very well over there this year in the Arcana sale, and she sold well for 150,000 sterling. So he's a horse with some notoriety over there as well.
Talking to Michael Herner from Gainesway Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, Caracanti. You can go to Caracanti and watch some of his races at Gainesway.com. You can check out all their stallions, by the way. It's not just Caracanti. Michael, we have just a couple minutes, but I'll lead you into a couple more and let you just make a comment or two on them, because I think they're noteworthy for sure. But you talk about Tapazar, and you talk about Taprit. I know Taprit's going to get a lot of attention, but here's Tapazar and Taprit, who are also, you have to be thrilled with the way that they've produced and what they're doing now, too.
Well, sure thing, Mike. Let's start with Taprit. His first crop are now foals, and I've seen many of them, and he's a big, bold, good-looking individual. He sold for $1.2 million at Saratoga, and he's getting strong internal support from Gainesway, Bridlewood, Mandy Pope, all of whom are equity stakeholders in the horse. Actually bred a very good filly by him and myself in partnership with David Richardson, and she's a half to a graded stakes winner, and she's a super filly, great quality and presence, correct. They have size and scope and many good breeders around town, and they know who they are, have stock by Taprit, and everyone's very pleased. He had stakes winning form at two, set a new stakes record in the Tampa Bay Derby, and then, of course, he won the classic Belmont Stakes when trained by Todd Pletcher, and his dam was a grade one winner at the Spinaway at Saratoga, so there's real speed there on the bottom side of the pedigree, and he had the ability to carry his speed a mile and a half, and then, of course, he's the son of the great Tappet, and he's obviously emerged now as a super sire of young stallions led by Constitution. And then, of course, Tapazar produced the wonderful filly that I was fortunate enough to co-breed with Brendan and Olive Gallagher, Monomoy Girl, that is. And she was impressive in the Ruffian. And then Vexatious, who she beat comfortably, came back and won the grade one for Jack Sisterson, touching off at Midnight Bassoo. So it sets up a bit of a showdown for those two great fillies at Churchill in the La Troyenne first weekend in September. That'll be an exciting grade one when they renew their rivalry, and then ultimately they'll eventually meet here at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and then I think it's off to the breeding shed for Monomoy Girl. And great credit to Brad Cox and his team and how he's brought this mare back to her very top form, and she just looks so terrific. I was down to see her recently, and pretty amazing to see a horse be at that high level and then have some issues and be away from the track for such a long period of time and be able to come back. So she's a daughter of Tapazar. He retired sound off a win in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile under Corey Nakatani. He was very impressive that day. He's out of the good mare winning call, daughter of deputy minister, and he raced for Ron Winchell, who of course campaigned Tappet himself.
Well, Michael, listen, things are moving in the right direction for sure. They have been at Gainesway for a very, very long time, and I know it's a team effort, but you're a big part of that team, and really appreciate you taking the time here this morning. All the best with Caracanti and Tapazar and all the stallions out there at Gainesway. We'll encourage people to head over to the website and to stop out and say hello and to check out the stallions when they're in town, too.
Thanks very much, Mike. Good to be on the show with you, and look forward to seeing you soon at the September sales.
You got it. Michael Hernan here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, Gainesway.com is where you can go to learn more about all the Gainesway stallions. All right, when I come back, I'm going to talk with trainer Carlos Martin, who gets set to saddle the defending champion in the Winning You're In Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga today. That's Come Dancing. Still to come, Chad Brown. You'll hear from him. You'll hear from my good friend Sean Clancy, from Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union, and Manny Franco, the man who will be aboard Tis the Law in the Travers later today. That's all ahead. But first, it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm back with Carlos Martin right after this.
On Saturday, July 16, 1965, nearly 60,000 racing fans gathered at Hollywood Park for the running of the Gold Cup over 10 furlongs on a superbly conditioned racing strip under a brilliant sun and a robin's egg blue sky. Most had come out to see if Native Diver, the six-year-old homebred, would already become a local folk hero, could win yet another big one. In his two previous starts, Native Diver had beaten Viking Spirit by a neck at level weights and world record equaling time of 120 flat for 7 furlongs in the Los Angeles Handicap, and had trounced a strong field in the 9-furlong American Handicap after being rested for 6 weeks. Swaps, the legendary Ellsworth hero, had been considered the best homegrown up until now, but native diver was pressing that reputation in no uncertain terms. He had had 21 stakes wins all in California and had earned over $400,000. In the field of challengers in this Gold Cup were the likes of Tronado, Meadowbrook Farm's solid performer, Ramon from the Foxcatcher Farm, and Ralph Lowe's Gogger. Native diver was the high weight, packing an impost of 124, including regular rider Jerry Lambert. As the gate sprung open at the head of the stretch, Lambert gunned the native driver to the front with a terrific burst of speed, and by the time they came by the stands for the first time, native diver was six in front on the way to clocking a 22-1 first quarter. He continued setting all the fractions on an easy lead through the clubhouse turn and posted a fairly swift 44-2 for the first half. As the field straightened out for the long run down the backside, Lambert gave him a little bit of a breather, and two horses, Romant and Tronado, closed some ground until they were within 2.5 lengths of the leader. Native Diver had that margin at the three quarters, which had been turning a very quick 108-4. He increased his lead as they went on down around the turn and was still four in front as they swung to the top of the stretch. The mile had gone in 134-1. Gogger had been rolling from far back and was within striking distance with two furlongs to the wire. Native Diver had enough left to run the final quarter in 25 flat and increased his margin slightly to wind up a clear and decisive five-length winner. The final time for the mile and a quarter was 2:01, which equaled the legendary Kayak the Second's mark. Owner L. K. Shapiro was absolutely thrilled with the win because it was the first time one of his horses had won a $100,000 race, the first time he'd won at 10 furlongs, and the first time he'd won an American Classic race at that distance with top weight. To add to the luster of this outstanding thoroughbred, he came back to win the Gold Cup again the very next year while packing 126 pounds in even faster time, 2:00. The piece de resistance and the crowning glory was a third straight win in the Gold Cup at the age of 8 in a phenomenal time of 158-4. With the latter score, Native Diver reached the hallowed plateau of being a million-dollar earner on the racetrack. You see, my friends, like fine wines, this extraordinarily fine Californian, Native Diver, had become better with age.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Come Dancing is moving on the outside of Via Mischief. Separation of powers put to the test on the inside starts to give way. And then comes Special Relativity and Dawn the Destroyer on the outside. Come Dancing comes to the eighth pole. She's got a 2.5 length lead. Dawn the Destroyer next. Toward the inside and third, it's Special Relativity. Come Dancing. Oh, she came running today. Despite that start, she waltzed home. Come Dancing won it by 4 over Dawn the Destroyer. special relativity was third in a final time of 121.48.
Larry Colmus bringing them home in last year's Bell Arena. Come dancing, getting the victory, and a very impressive effort for her. She's back again today as the defending champion, looking to make it two in a row, and we'll see if she can pull it off. The Bell Arena comes up as race number 7, and Come Dancing will break from the outside post, number 7. 3:42 Eastern is the post time for the Bell Arena. Again, 7 furlongs on the main track. Win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Filly Amer Sprint Division, and going to be joined by Come Dancing's trainer, Carlos Martin, coming up here in just a few minutes. We're efforting Carlos as we speak and looking forward to catching up with him and talking about this really talented filly. Last time out, she was second in the Grade 3 Vagrancy, and she was the heavy favorite that day. So I want to ask him about that performance. Keep in mind, she was coming off a bit of a freshening. She hadn't raced since April. That race, the Vagrancy, was on June 27th. So a couple of months, not a huge layoff by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Carlos was hoping for a victory that day. But he'll take a victory today in the Bell Arena if he can pull it off. And, you know, she comes into the race much differently than she did last year. Last year, she faced Midnight Bisou in the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps. She was second behind Midnight Bisou after setting the pace that day. Then came back and won the Bell Arena. Now, the Ogden Phipps is a mile and a 16th. So she went from that route race to a sprint. This year, she comes in off of another sprint. So it's a different approach to get her ready. Maybe after what happened at Oaklawn two starts ago when she was 12th, beating 13 lengths in the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, the connections decided, you know what? We know she can sprint. We know that she likes shorter distances. Maybe they decided that's her best distance and they'll just keep her sprinting this year. We'll find out. Carlos Martin will join me here in a few minutes, at least hopefully. Busy morning for him. I know he's working and training right now, but we are going to try and get in touch with Carlos and have him join us. You know, when you talk about a trainer, and by the way, I'll get to Carlos again here in just a second, but when you look at that field today in the Bell Arena, 3-1 is the morning line on the defending champion Come Dancing. You have Serengeti Empress breaking from the rail, the daughter of Pin Oak Stallion Alternation, 5-2. You have Bellafina, who is the morning line favorite at 9-5 for Simon Callahan. The only time she's been at Saratoga was last year when she was third in the 7-furlong test stakes as a 3-year-old. She was the favorite that day. She was beaten by 9 1/4 lengths by Covfefe and Serengeti Empress, who was second. So she's got to prove that she can come east and perform at a high level at Saratoga. 9-5, kind of a short price on Bellafina, in my opinion. Yeah, she's classy and she's pretty good, but I don't think you take her at a short price. There's a lot of speed in there, too. It looks like there is a lot of early gas. Serengeti Empress, we know, especially breaking from the rail, we know she can run early anyway. You would expect her to send from the rail in there and then Come Dancing. You know, she may be in the best position of anybody in this race because she has tactical speed. She doesn't need the lead by any stretch of the imagination. And she breaking from the outside under Javier Castellano, will be able to watch how the pace develops. And if Javier wants to sit just off, which I would assume will be their strategy, he can put Come Dancing in the third or fourth position early on and see where they go from there. But we know that she likes Saratoga. She's 2-for-3 at Saratoga as Come Dancing. And again, breaking from the outside post, she might be in the perfect stalking position under Javier. Well, Carlos Martin is indeed with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Carlos, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too. I was just singing the praises of Come Dancing, and I was pointing out the fact that with so much early pace in there, and it looks like it's going to be a pace-laden race, Come Dancing doesn't need the lead. She runs well from just off the pace, and breaking from the outside, that could be a huge advantage for her, Carlos.
I'm optimistic that Topa's going to set up, at least we have some pace. Serengeti's a great horse. Drawing the rails doesn't give her a lot of options. She's got to go. So hopefully we'll be able to draft in behind and hopefully have a similar trip to last year's race would be like a dream. Hopefully it'll be running like it looks like on paper. There's definitely pace in the race. There's no question about that.
Yeah, you know, it was a dream last year because of the way that that race finished up, but it didn't start all that well for Come Dancing, which I think made the victory even more impressive.
Yeah, she didn't. I don't think she broke slow like everybody kept saying. She hesitated at the start. I think they came over a little bit on her. And Javier, believe it or not, I really think deep down he was looking to get out the inside. I think he had a big old smile on his face, even though it looked to the untrained eye like, wow, what, she got slammed coming out of the gate. She's last. But when he got her in the clear, you know, after the race, I think he was really confident the way things turned out. He wanted to get off the inside. He was afraid of getting caught up and having to gun her from the rail. So it was, it just kind of worked out just perfectly. You know, she got kind of, they came over a little bit on her, and he didn't try to get up in there. He just took her, checked her right out of there, and then took her to the outside, and the rest was history, as they say.
You know, she comes into the race a little bit differently than she did last year. Last year, she ran in the mile and the 16th Ogden Phipps against Midnight Bisou before winning the Ballerina. This year, she comes out of the Grade 3 Vagrancy and again, finished second in that race, but it was a sprint race. So you bring her in this year off of a sprint. Talk about that strategy.
Well, just we had a little bit of a different kind of whole game plan with the pandemic, and we took a chance in the Oaklawn race. You know, she was doing so good at the farm, and Mark kind of gave me the option. And I'm not saying if I regret it. You know, in retrospect, it was a tough spot to come back after the layoff and after the Breeders' Cup debacle to have to run her two turns, Grade 1, first time back. We took a chance. The coach was great to work with. Unfortunately, I don't think we had her really ready. And plus two turns, I'm not so sure, you know, against two turns against Grade 1 horses. You know, she seems to me like she's always been better one turn, 7/8 to up to a mile is her wheelhouse. And it's just the way it turned out. Then we had to lose a little time after that race and just wanted to just start all over, freshened her up, got her back to Fairhill, Maryland. Bruce Jackson does an excellent job there for a couple of weeks just to let her get her head mind straight, get her head clear. And then we got her up to Belmont and got her ready. The workouts were great, but she just fools you. She just they were too fast. And as a six-year-old mare, there was no need for that. You know, she doesn't need to go 57 in the morning. We need to get paid in the afternoon. So we changed up a little bit. Like I said, Javier's great. He had been working her the whole time last year before the Ballerina. He worked her for the Vagrancy. And when we got to Saratoga, we just went with the old school riders that get on her in the morning and just try to just get her to slow down and conserve that energy for the afternoon. And she went a minute a couple of times, nice and easy over the track at Saratoga. And she did it very willingly. And I think, you know, it's mental aspect as they get older. The mares is very important, almost as important as the physical. You know, she gobs about a mile and 3/8, mile and a half every day. So to go 7/8 of a mile, I tried to not squeeze the lemon dry and train her a little differently. So hopefully we'll get the good results this afternoon.
You mentioned Mark Holliday, who races under Blue Devil Racing Stable. That relationship that you have with Mark has been really, really good. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you might have him tell you about it because he's right next to me if you want to put him on.
Yeah, go ahead. Put him on for a minute.
Mr. Holliday, the Horse Racing Radio Network would like to ask you a question. Mike Penna, Mark Holliday.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Mark. Hey, so we got tired of talking to Carlos. I said, yeah, put Mark on the line.
No, you can't. Carlos, he can go on forever.
I was asking him about this relationship, but you know, obviously, Come Dancing is very special and the defending champion in this Ballerina today. But that relationship that you and Carlos have formed over the years has been very special. Tell me about it.
It's been over 10 years. We've had a lot of success together, mostly racing fillies, and we've had some real success in the past. And you know, I always like to root for the underdog. I mean, that's what makes these wins even a little more special, like last year when we, you know, we had that great season with Come Dancing and we won the Ballerina. You know, seeing Carlos with a small stable, he's got 20-something horses here at Saratoga, and still he, you know, competes at the highest level. And, you know, it makes it just a little you know, a little more exciting for me to be associated with a guy who works as hard as he does and can knock heads with the big stables and still pull off big wins like he's done. So that's what I enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, she's a special filly. There's no doubt about it. Mark, how about for you? When did you first become hooked on horse racing? How did it all happen for you?
Well, okay, you got to go way, way back. For me, it was actually the Standardbreds. My dad was a big owner in the Standardbred circuit back in the day. Yonkers, Roosevelt, Meadowlands, and you know, for me, it was school and then right to the track. And you know, so I grew up. We had a good deal of success in the New York Sire Stake ranks with the Standardbreds. Then I took you know, had a little bit of time off until I was able to get into the business myself, and I decided I wanted to get into the thoroughbred business back about, must have been 15 years ago, with you know, with my first filly, Honest to Betsy, who first outwinner, maiden special at Belmont, and the rest is history.
Yeah, you've had some luck. I mean, obviously, and Come Dancing is kind of the flagship for all of that, you know, success. I mean, she's, you know, grade one winner, millionaire. Did you ever imagine when you got into this game you'd be sitting here talking about a filly that was that good?
Well, you know, look, you know, my goal is, you know, whatever I do, I want to do it well. And, you know, there's a lot of parallels between horse racing and what I do in the real estate business in New York. It takes a long time to develop these buildings. There's a lot of pre-development, a lot of obstacles you got to overcome. You got to invest a lot of money on the front end to get the rewards on the back end, and not every deal works out. So, you know, for me, this is, you know, it's a great outlet for me that in some ways, you know, has some, you know, some parallels with my business life. But, you know, this is something that, you know, we set out to have a successful small stable of high-quality fillies, and we've had, you know, a number over the years. Promise Me a Cat was another, you know, big horse for us. And I was fortunate enough to breed Unified, who now stands at Lane's End. So, you know, it's a small operation, but we've had success. And but nothing, you know, matches the pinnacle of being here, Saratoga, trying to be a repeat winner in the Ballerina. If we can pull it off, it would be a special moment.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Mark Holliday, Blue Devil Racing, with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, you heard from Carlos Martin, the trainer of Come Dancing, just moments ago. Mark, listen, I appreciate the impromptu visit here. All the best later today with Come Dancing and with the rest of the stable, too. Keep it rolling.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike.
All right, and please give my best to Carlos, too. All right, Mark Holliday, Carlos Martin here. How about that? You got to love live radio. Fantastic. It, you know, Mark Holliday, you heard him talk about going back a ways, getting involved with the Standardbred side of things. And now here he is with Come Dancing, and he referenced at the end of that interview how special it would be if she can pull it off and win back-to-back runnings of the Ballerina. And, oh, by the way, punch her ticket again to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Shameless plug here, too. We'll be there to bring you all that coverage of the Breeders' Cup as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So make sure that you you head over to horseracingradio.net to check out our schedule. 5:30 Eastern today, our coverage of the Travers presented by Twin Spires. Myself and Bobby Newman will bring you coverage of the Test Stakes and the Travers Stakes, 5:30 to 6:30, Sirius 219, XM 201. horseracingradio.net, and of course on affiliates across the country. You can head over to the website to see a listing of affiliates too. All right, when I come back, you're going to hear from trainer Chad Brown, who gets set to saddle Country Grammar in this afternoon's Travers. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4 fifths. Cara Conti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti's first crop of three-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Katil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Cara Conti at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Brisnet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And there goes Country Grammar. Country Grammar has come on through down at the rail to take the lead as they head for home. Three quarters went in 1-12-1. It is Country Grammar on the inside and Caracaro on the outside. And Caracaro now takes the lead. Country Grammar continues to battle on down at the rail with a 16th of the finish. Caracaro and Country Grammar. And they're putting on a heck of a stretch duel here in the Peter Pan. And Country Grammar has won it. The Peter Pan here at Saratoga. Caracaro was second. Mystic Guide came from out of it to finish third.
Welcome back. Mike Penna with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That was John Imbriel with the call of the Peter Pan at Saratoga this year. It was run on July 16th, just over 3 weeks ago. Country Grammar and Caracaro getting a rematch in this afternoon's $1 million Traverse Stakes. And you're going to hear from trainer Chad Brown, who will saddle Country Grammar here in just a minute, right after I remind you that if you are looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, well, all you have to do is check out RTN.TV, the Racetrack Television Network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And here's a cool thing, too. As a special treat for all of our listeners, if you use the promo code capital HRRN, you're going to get the first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free. So visit RTN.TV to sign up today and use that promo code HRRN and take advantage of that 7 days, the first 7 days, absolutely free. All right, well, Chad Brown, let's look at his victory. He's a native of Saratoga, so it would mean an awful lot to him. And he joined the Big A, Anthony Stabile, on our Red Brand Radio show yesterday afternoon, and Chad started by talking about the decision to run Country Grammar back on somewhat short rest, just over 3 weeks from the Peter Pan.
Yeah, it's back a little bit quick. Thought we'd take a shot this year with everything kind of changing with the schedule. You know, it's not a full field. There's a couple solid horses in there, though, so he'll have to step it up. But you know, been looking to get him out to a mile and a quarter as well. So I thought we'd take advantage of a good race over the track and just give it a shot.
Yeah, you've mentioned it off air. So is his jockey, Aretto Tease Jr. I think it's worth noting they're a perfect two for two together, both at a mile and an eighth. And this is a horse you guys have always kind of thought would want more ground, and that's maybe a big edge for him.
I think so. It's always a matter of how fast he can run a mile and a quarter, but I know he'll get it and beyond maybe. So we're going to just need a couple of main contenders maybe not to want it, and our horse to step forward again off of Peter Pan and run even better. I think that's really the only scenario that makes us very competitive in here.
When you come into a race like this, and there's a horse that's obviously been deemed by almost everyone as the horse to beat in Tis the Law, do you take that into consideration, or you just kind of worry about your horse and getting Country Grammar ready for the 10 furlongs?
Yeah, I always just focus on my own horses, getting them ready to run in whatever type of race we're pointing towards. But, you know, when you choose to go into the race, you're aware of, you know, who's going in first to see if you fit class-wise. And then as far as the tactics go in the race, we definitely pay attention to who the contenders are. If I said between Tis the Law and Uncle Chuck, I mean, the two main contenders anyway, you know, they both look like they're fast horses and they can carry it. They're very dangerous.
That Peter Pan last time out, Arad made a pretty gutsy move with him going inside of horses. I had to be impressed with a move like that for the simple fact that he really hadn't been asked to do anything like that. And a horse with his running style, more often than not, you see them coming down the center of the track and not hugging the rail.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. He's showed before he can run inside of horses and take some dirt. And he wasn't afraid to go in there. And the rail happened to be good that day, so it was a really good spot to be anyway. And, you know, the horse, he's lightly raced, but he's gaining some more experience every time he runs. And I'm hoping he's set up for his best race yet.
Training him up here since June. Three works over the training track. All good. Before the Peter Pan, you breezed him on the main. He ran well on the main. This last breeze on August 1st, a week ago tomorrow, before the race, you know, you said it was, you know, back a little quick with the less than 4 weeks. By all accounts, that was a tremendous breeze. A new surface here at Saratoga this year, and it seems to fit him just fine.
Yeah, he seems to really like it up here, and he loves his two turns. So that's another thing. He's getting over the track well, so hopefully we have a couple things going for us with, you know, a good race over the track, and he's been training here every day and definitely wanting more distance. So, you know, hopefully he can use those advantages, if you will, to sort of close the gap on some of the main contenders. But like I said, if either of those horses run, you know, their A race or even improve, I mean, either one of them will be very, very tough to beat. We're aware of that.
Very unusual year, obviously, with the Travers being the last stop really on the road to the Kentucky Derby here in New York. Do you think long term, do you say to yourself, well, if he runs 1, 2, 3 tomorrow, I'll think about the Derby and just worry about tomorrow now?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, just worry about tomorrow is the easy answer and really the truthful answer. I really haven't looked beyond it. But, you know, if he was to run really super and be right there in this field, you'd have to think about it because he hasn't raced that much. So, and it's a good distance for him, you know. So one race at a time, we'll see. He's got to step forward and we're optimistic he can. He's on a pattern like he will step forward.
Growing up 15 minutes, I know you hear this every year, growing up 15 minutes from here, all the good you've done up in Saratoga in your career, of course, what would it mean to you to win the Run Happy Travers?
It'd be right at the top of the list. We won some great races. We've been very, very fortunate to win some great races with a lot of great horses, some of which will be in the Hall of Fame. But this would be really at the top of the list. It's the race I can remember going to my parents, you know, the track, since ever since I had a memory, you know, whatever age that was. So it's, you know, something we work towards, you know, and I've worked towards my whole life, and my staff, this being really our home track, you know, it'd be a huge moment for us.
And he's really been the kind of horse. You're always very thankful for your staff and your team. You talk about your team a lot. This is a horse that's been at different points of his career, downstate in New York, upstate at Gulfstream. A lot of people have had their hands on this horse, so I'm sure that would mean even more to you with really being a team effort with a horse like Country Grammar.
No, that's a great point. You know, it's just with our large team, we've had you're right, he's been at different venues, and almost every group of team members have worked with this horse, and it would be a tremendous team effort to get this done. So, you know, hopefully we'll have some luck on go our way tomorrow.
Chad, thanks for some time today. I know you're busy. Best of luck with Country Grammar in the run. Happy Travers.
Thanks for having me, Anthony. Take care.
Yeah, Chad Brown, it would mean a lot to him if he can pull off a victory today. And as you heard him say, and look, I mean, here's a guy that's won countless greatest stakes races. He's the premier trainer that we have in the sport today. And you heard him talk about the competition and how Country Grammar is going to have to step it up a couple notches today. Because if either Tis the Law or Uncle Chuck bring their A game, Country Grammar could be in trouble. He's a good horse. He's improving. He's going the right direction. But as Chad said, we're going to take a shot in here. We're going to see if he fits. And they'll find out later today. Of course, that race coming up here on the network, 5:30 Eastern is when we kick off our coverage. Make sure you're tuned into us right here on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All right, second half of the show kicks off with Sean Clancy. I'll share a cup of coffee with him coming up in just a few minutes. Tim Wilkin, 9:20 Eastern, and 25-year-old Belmont Stakes winning jockey Manny Franco will be with me to wrap up the program at 9:40 Eastern time. That's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And it's Authentic, who's still very strong on the front end, and he pulls away with authority. Authentic is undefeated as he will romp in the San Felipe, a very easy 2.5 lengths.
Gamine's running up the score. Oh, look at this fine filly romp here. John Velasquez lets her roll at the 16th pole, and she has absolutely destroyed the acorn field.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
It's modernist toward the inside for Junior Alvarado. Major Fed closing, New York Traffic Gamely, and then Nell Mamani, it's modernist. Modernist and Junior Rivera and Junior Alvarado at 12-1. Modernist has won it.
Tom's Detas shaken up to a three-length lead. By My Standards is trying hard, but he's still second. Silver Dust is third. Multiplier trying to come on late for fourth. But with a 16th to go, it's total domination for Tom's Detas.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have you with me as we've reached the halfway mark of the program. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can hear my interview with Michael Hernan from Gainesway and with Carlos Martin, who talked about Come Dancing, the defending champion in today's Grade 1 win, and you're in Ballerina. And, of course, that interview with Chad Brown just a few moments ago, too. Our poll question, at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Considering the fact that Saratoga is known as the graveyard of champions, there's a chance that heavy favorite Tis the Law may not win the Travers Stakes today. Of course, that could happen in any track, not just Saratoga, but it seems more prevalent because of the reputation of Saratoga. It seems more prevalent at the Spa that we see heavy favorites go down to defeat in big races. So, the poll question, if Tis the Law doesn't win today's Travers Stakes, which horse is the most likely upsetter? And I gave you a few choices. Uncle Chuck, Country Grammar, Max Player, or Other. And if you pick Other, please specify which horse you think it's going to be. Well, looks like Uncle Chuck is the horse that most people feel will be the most likely upsetter. No surprise. He's second choice on the morning line. It's Bob Baffert. He's undefeated. He's a good horse. But he's also shipping all the way to Saratoga and stepping it up a notch now, having to face Tiz the Law. But if Tiz the Law doesn't win, Uncle Chuck, the most likely winner, according to HRN Nation, 45% of the vote saying it's Uncle Chuck. Max Player getting 27% of the vote. Country Grammar, 20%. And then the other category, one person weighing in and saying Cara Caro will be the winner of the Traverse Stakes later today. Again, post time right around 6:19, 6:20 Eastern time, and we're going to have the coverage for you beginning at 5:30 Eastern. All that coverage presented by TwinSpires.com. Well, plenty of Traverse talk coming up in the second half of the show. As I mentioned, Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times-Union will be with me at 9:20 Eastern, and jockey Manny Franco, who will be aboard Tiz the Law in today's Traverse, will be here at 9:40. But time now to pour a fresh cup of coffee with my friend Sean Clancy. Sean, I'll get one for you, too, and we'll kick back and relax and talk about the Saratoga Special for a few minutes, my friend.
There's no relaxing on Traverse Day. Come on. Got to get cracking.
Morning. Hey, listen, according to your cup of coffee piece in today's edition of the Saratoga Special, there ain't a whole lot happening at Saratoga on this Traverse morning, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Your first piece, I want to go back to the piece that you wrote, and if people don't know what we're talking about, when you get the Saratoga Special, you can go to thisishorseracing.com, and you can read the Saratoga Special. Sean's been doing it with his brother Joe and the team for about 20 years now. This is actually their 20th season. But the final column in the paper every single week is Sean's cup of coffee, and it's a unique look at a different angle, a different story. And, Sean, I have to tell you, this week has been very unique for you with the hurricane and all of the tropical storm and all that stuff that happened up that way. But now the feature you wrote on Thursday, not Wednesday, but Thursday, was just tremendous.
Thank you. That was a fun one to write. It was about Miles, my son, 11-year-old son, playing baseball. So we missed the spring season. Miles is a baseball fanatic, as you guys know. Remember, you guys came to the farm and I think you played baseball. You, Michelle, and Jude played baseball with Miles out in the yard for hours and hours and hours. We got a summer league going, which is great. I mean, we missed the spring season. They managed to put together a summer season. So if there's any solace for me, not being in Saratoga, not doing the special, not kind of experiencing that yet again, it's being with Miles playing baseball. So so that was on my mind, and so we wrote a column about it.
Yeah, and it kind of puts things into perspective too, doesn't it? We get so caught up in this sport that we all love, and rightfully so. I mean, it's what we do. It's what we love. It's our passion. But you talk about in this piece that, what really matters is spending that time with your son, and you don't often have time to do that, but this year, because of everything that's happened, you do.
Yeah, I think no doubt. I mean, I think this year especially, I think it's reminded us what's important. It's, it's given perspective on how you spend your life, what you do with your time, how, what you're striving to do, and also what you miss. I mean, I know, all of us, I'm not alone, all of us in this game and any game, any business, any sport, any endeavor, you miss out on a lot of stuff. So I've definitely had these moments this year of like trying to just, take in a moment and think about it and appreciate it. I think, when you don't see, you're not able to see your family, you're not able to go to Saratoga, you're not able to go to, those kind of traditions and things that you've enjoyed in your life. The only thing you can control is how you enjoy them, how you appreciate them in the future. So I think that's important. I mean, the only thing you look back, I mean, I look back and go, wow, maybe I should have appreciated that more. So I'm trying to do that. It's been very, like everybody, it's been a very stressful year, a very disturbing year. But I think at least, you do have to take those moments and realize and remember what's important. So Playing Little League Baseball, there's nothing like perspective on life than Little League Baseball. So that's been, it's just been a godsend for us. We've enjoyed it. We've just had a ball playing. So, you know, I think it's made a big difference.
And thank goodness for the five-run rule.
Yeah, exactly. The five-run rule, it's not a bad rule for life, you know, when you're up five or down five. It's it sure is it sure helps the kids, you know. And a couple innings, we were, you know, they had scored four on us the other night, and we were just like trying, you know, you're desperately trying to keep it from the 5-run rule. So yeah, that's always the goal in Little League Baseball, keep it from the 5-run rule.
Sharing a cup of coffee with my friend Sean Clancy, his cup of coffee column appears in every Saratoga special paper, and they're publishing twice a week now. They're supposed to publish on Wednesday, but Sean, you had a little disruption from the weather gods earlier this week, so you went with Thursday instead, and now you're here with this Saturday feature called Quiet Noise, and it starts as saying it is a Travers day like none other. It kind of the way I started the show today. It is just different this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, for us, you know, we've been doing the special. This is our 20th year, and I was just kind of sitting around on the, you know, on the Friday, the day before the Travers, which usually is our most hectic. I mean, the Friday and the Saturday of Travers weekend, by far the most hectic days of the special, because you're trying to get. We usually have a huge paper on Travers Day with advertisers and everybody getting in, and we use, you know, you're covering a bunch of stakes. And it's so electric. I mean, it's really what attracted us to the endeavor. I mean, I think between Joe and Tom Law and I, you know, and I think all the interns over the years and everybody, you know, that kind of electricity of the newsroom of trying to get your stuff written, trying to beat that deadline. You know, the print newspaper, we've had, you know, it's been 19 years of pressure of the deadline, because you actually can miss the window for the printer to print the paper. And so, you know, you have that. It's just as electric and vibrant an atmosphere as you can get. So this year, obviously, we don't have that. So it's very different. You know, it's very, you know, it's just disruptive. I mean, it's just like, wow, it's a little unnerving to not have that kind of stress and pressure. So I try to write that, try to capture that kind of feel of what's, you know, of the special in 2020 as opposed to the special in the first 19 years.
Yeah, it seems strange this morning to open the show at 8 o'clock and think back on what would typically be happening in a quote-unquote normal year. You would have all of the fans, as soon as the gates open, the running of the bulls, where they would run and try to get a picnic table or find a seat and set up their lawn chairs for the day. You didn't have that this year. You didn't have the line 20 or 30 deep at Dunkin' Donuts. You didn't have people milling around watching the horses train or listening to watching the replays of past Travers stakes that are showing on the television monitors throughout the racetrack. It's just a different vibe here in 2020. But Sean, the part that I loved about this piece today is that you pointed out the fact that, look, it's still the Travers Stakes, and it's still, if you look at it as a singular race, it's not a prep race for the Derby, it's the Travers, and there are a lot of things on the line, and you pointed out something that is pertinent to each and every one of the connections, starting with Linda Rice, who will saddle Max Player.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to the people, to the connections, to the owners, trainers, jockeys, breeders, to anybody in the race, it is still the Travers. Yes, it's the Travers without fans. It's earlier than usual. It's you know, it's a different Travers, but it's still the Travers. And I think you have to keep that, you know, you have to keep that into perspective. I mean, I was kind of laughing about the memories of the Travers. I mean, for us, we walk out of our office, well, it's Friday night, Saturday morning, and we're right on East Avenue next to Fazy Tipton, and we walk out of the office, and you see the fans lined up on Union Avenue. It might be 1, 2, sometimes I hate to say 3 o'clock in the morning, and you see everybody lined up sitting in picnic chairs and sleeping on the sidewalk to get in there first. And you know, from a fan's perspective, that's the Travers, right? And then, you know, this year they obviously don't have that, but I think for the connections, you know, Barkley Tagg is certainly feeling as much pressure or stress and, you know, kind of urgency this year in this year's Travers as he would have in any other Travers. And I think everybody feels that way, whether you're Bob Baffert trying to win it for the, I think, the fourth time, or Javier Castellano winning it for the seventh time, or, you know, there's no difference to them. Yeah, it's a different year, and you won't have the fans, you won't have that, you know, palpable kind of electricity. But I think it's important to keep it, you know, to remember that it is still the Travers. It's still the best, you know, best group of horses, best group of 3 year olds trying to, you know, win the Midsummer Derby. And yeah, it's between the Derby and between the Belmont and the Derby, which is, you know, obviously strange, but it's still the Travers for the horses, for the owners, trainers, jockeys, breeders, still the Travers.
You know, when you think about the horses, Sean, that were prevalent this spring, the three-year-olds, Nadal, Charlatan, Maxfield, all of those horses are now either retired or on the sidelines or whatever the case might be. Tis the Law was also prominent in the spring, and he's the one that's continued to compete at a very high level. And I think Barkley Tagg deserves a ton of credit for the training job he's done with Tis the Law to keep that horse sound and on top of his game and competing at an A level. Just a remarkable training job by Barkley.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think what you have to remember is these guys didn't have a target for quite a while. I mean, he's tuning them up, getting them ready for the Kentucky Derby, obviously, on the first Saturday in May, and then all that got pulled out from under him. So, you know, then what do? You don't have a target. You don't know exactly what you're training for, where you're going, what you're doing. And Barkley's been able to just keep this horse ticking over. It's a credit to the horse, too. I mean, the horse has been, the horse is clockwork. You know, he just goes out there and breezes. He breezed 10 times between the Florida Derby and the Belmont. And that's, you know, that's a lot of breezes to be able to keep a horse, you know, still at the highest level. I mean, we know these horses. You know, what's the old line? There's strawberries today and jam tomorrow. And that's the truth. You know, you never know how what one day to the next. And I think between the horse and Barkley and Robin and everybody that's with the horse, it's a credit to all of them to be able to keep going and still, you know, they haven't missed a beat. I mean, the horse is an amazing horse. He just goes out there and trains. He's so steady. He's just like, you know, if he wants to go and he wants to go 5/8 and 101, he'll go 101. If he wants to go in 59 and change, he'll go in 59 and change. I mean, and that's one week to the next. You just don't see that many horses who are so adaptable just to be able to, you know, do exactly what the trainer wants to do every day. And I think that's a credit to the horse, to the connections. And Barkley's talked about it. He's like, you know, people keep asking, what do you want to, you want to back off, you want to do something. And he's like, you know, the horse is doing great. He's born and bred to breeze, to race, to run. And so he's just kept him on that schedule, breezing once a week, very steady, very easy breezes until the last couple. He tunes him up, gets a little more, gets him sharper in the last couple, and the horse responds. So it's been fun and interesting, kind of refreshing to watch a horse that can just go out there every, you know, for weeks and months and stay. I mean, the horse beaten one time, and that was in a rough trip last fall. I mean, he's been an absolute, he's just been consistently brilliant from the beginning of his career. And it's a year to the day today when he broke his maiden at Saratoga. I mean, in a year's time, you think about what he's accomplished and what he can accomplish this afternoon. So it's been fun to watch.
He's Sean Clancy with the Saratoga Special. Every Saturday during the meet, we'll share a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock Eastern here on the Equine Forum. Sean, listen, keep up the wonderful work. We'll encourage people to go to thisishorseracing.com to download the latest edition and read those pieces. And enjoy Travers Day, my friend. It's still the Midsummer Derby.
No doubt. Thanks. You enjoy it, too. I think everybody out there just try to enjoy it, appreciate it for what it is, and, you know, just kind of just enjoy a day. I know it's different. I know it's very, very different from what we're used to, but still the Travers, still a day to enjoy and appreciate.
All right, Sean. Sean Clancy here on HRRN. Again, the Saratoga Special. This is horseracing.com. That interview, along with all of our interviews here on the show, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com. I mentioned that paragraph in which Sean points out a pertinent fact and what the Travers victory, a Travers victory, would mean for each of the connections associated with a horse in the Travers Stakes today. And I want to read it to you because I think it's brilliant. Here's what's on the line in the Travers. I'm going to read it exactly the way it's written. If it's Linda Rice with Max Player, it's the first for a woman trainer. If it's Chad Brown with Country Grammar, it's a new brick in an indelible wall. If it's the Noda brothers with Longshot First Line, it's the breakthrough. If it's Ralph Nix with Florida Shipper Chivalry, it's the moment when all the toil is worth it. If it's Bob Baffert with Uncle Chuck, it's another precise attack in a career built on them. If it's Javier Castellano aboard Caracaro, it's an unfathomable seventh. And if it's Bill Mott and just received South Bend, it's the first in a career that seemed to have it all until you looked it up. If it's Barkley Tagg, trainer of the once-beaten favorite Tis the Law, it's at long last the home plate of the three-year-old home run. It's still the Travers. It's still the Midsummer Derby. There's plenty of storylines, plenty of things on the line for all the connections. And we are privileged to bring it your way this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern here on the network, presented by Twin Spires. Make sure you're locked into us. Sirius 219, XM 201, horseracingradio.net, and affiliates across the country. When I come back, I'll visit with Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union. He'll share his thoughts on the Travers and on some of the other stakes races on today's program. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Get on the fast track to fun. This summer, Ellis Park Racing and Gaming has an action-packed schedule, including the 2020 Run Happy Summer Meet at Ellis Park. The Run Happy Ellis Park Derby will be the track's first ever Kentucky Derby qualifying race. Preview the action August 2nd with the Run Happy Kentucky Downs Preview Day. Then, on August 9th, catch the excitement of the Run Happy Ellis Park Derby, where the winner is almost guaranteed a spot in the Kentucky Derby. We can't wait to make history with you this summer. Visit Ellis Park Racing .com for details.
Orb, winner of the Kentucky Derby and Florida Derby. His runners have scored on both dirt and turf. His recent stakes success includes Mrs. Orb, winner of the Bay Ridge Stakes at Aqueduct, Pippin Stakes victress Whoa Nelly, and Derlou, a determined runner-up in the Grade 3 La Cañada Stakes at Santa Anita. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Win one of two qualifying seats to the $3 million National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas during the inaugural Ruidoso Downs Handicapping Challenge. This on-track event on August 29th offers national and local players with a chance to win expenses-paid seats to NHC in February 2021. Register today at raceruidoso.com. Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino, home to the world's richest quarter horse race, the All-American Futurity. Guaranteed excitement? You bet.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And it's a bunched unit turning for home in the Los Alamitos Derby. It's Uncle Chuck, Thousand Words, throwing out a challenge. Great Power back to third. Cosmo battles on. They have 3/16 left to go. And it's Uncle Chuck by one length. Thousand Words is trying hard to get on terms, but Uncle Chuck has the lead. He's clear. He's increasing his margin, coming past the 16th pole. Uncle Chuck racing away from Thousand Words. Uncle Chuck by three. Thousand Words second. Cosmo was six away third, then Great Power.
Welcome back. Mike Penna with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That was Michael Rona with the call of the Grade 3 Los Alamitos Derby on July 4th. And Uncle Chuck running his record to a perfect 2-for-2. We'll see when the waters get a bit deeper later today in the Grade 1 Midsummer Derby, the Traverse Stakes. Uncle Chuck tackling heavy favorite Tis the Law and what is now down to a field of 7, as reported by my next guest, Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times-Union. Timmy will update people on the scratch that just came out a short time ago. But before we do, welcome to the show. It would not be Traverse Stakes Day without a visit from Tim Wilkin.
Thanks, Mike. And it's not Traverse Day with you guys not here. I'm saddened that you guys aren't here to share in the revelry of another Traverse. It's just really weird that nobody's here. I mean, it's and you can imagine what it's like here with no people here. It's just everything, just watching the jockeys go out of the jocks room to the paddock, coming back from the races when, you know, there'll always be people crowding around them trying to get goggles from them, and now it's just eerie silence. It's just strange, very strange, but these are the times we're living in right now, and hopefully it's only a one-year deal. We don't have to deal with this next year.
Yeah, and I will echo those sentiments. We share in your sorrow of not being at Saratoga today. I mentioned at the top of the show, Tim, that, you know, I credit the 1989 Travers with Easy Goer as being one of, if not the reason, that I became hooked on the sport of thoroughbred racing, and everything kind of just grew from there. And I've missed very few Travers stakes in person since that day in 1989, and to not be there today is really kind of heartbreaking. We're providing coverage. We'll do it remotely and safely, and that's all you can do. But let's update people on the change to this year's field. We are down to a field of 7. You reported it on Twitter just a short time ago. There has been a scratch.
Yes, the first line, the horse from Orlando, Noda, who was 30-1 in the morning line, he announced on Twitter that he just wasn't going to run. He didn't say that there was anything wrong with the horse. He just said if the horse isn't 110%, he can't run him. And this was rumored for at least the last couple of days that he was not going to run. First line was a horse that broke his maiden here earlier in the meet. That's, you know, and I think it was his fourth try. He was in really deep. I think they were just trying to hit the proverbial home run out of the park, which I don't think was going to happen. And they wanted to be fair to the horse, and so they're leaving him in the barn. And I think they're going to come back and try the Jim Dandy on closing weekend, which will be Kentucky Derby Day, Labor Day weekend. So it's field of 7 now. He was 30-1 in the morning line, co-longest choice with Chivalry. So, now we're down to 7.
Yeah, and I've been following your tweets throughout the morning here. And by the way, if people want to follow you on Twitter, it is at TJ Wilkin, W-I-L-K-I-N. That's Tim Wilkin with the Albany Times-Union. You also posted a picture of the morning line favorite, Tis the Law, and his connections, Jack Knowlton and Barkley Tagg. Was that from this morning, those pictures, Tim?
No, those were stuff. Those were things that I have gathered during the meet with my visits with Barkley and Jack during the meet, and there's been plenty of them. And I think they're feeling the heat a little bit. I think they're feeling a little pressure on this one because of one horse that's coming from the west.
Yeah, well, you had a chance to talk to the trainer that is saddling that horse coming from the west, Bob Baffert. You had a couple of quotes that you put out there yesterday. What did Bob have to say about Uncle Chuck?
Well, you know, Bob is, I mean, it's kind of scary when he mentions Uncle Chuck and also mentions Arrogate in the same breath. I mean, he says he reminds him a little bit of Arrogate with the way his stride is. And just the way he moves, and he just jumps well. And, you know, Bob thinks there's just a huge, huge upside on this horse. I don't know if we're going to see it today. I mean, remember now, this is only his third career start. And doing a little history lesson. I went back as far as 1970, and there's been no horse since 1970 that has won the Travers with less than 4 starts. Arrogate did it with 4. There's a couple other that did it, but you know, Uncle Chuck would have to, you know, he would become a record breaker in the fact that he's he's had two starts. You know, he didn't race as a two-year-old, but that was by choice. There was nothing wrong with him. But Bob was told just to take his time with him, and he did. And, you know, this horse is, to me, it reminds me of, I mean, he's got plenty of talent. Don't get me wrong. I mean, in his two races, you know, the Maiden Breaker and then the Losail Derby, I mean, he beat, I think, a combined total of seven horses. He did beat Thousand Words, who come back to win the Shared Belief and beat Honor AP. So that should make people stand up and take a little bit of notice. But to me, it seems like Uncle Chuck is like the high school superstar who's coming in and playing against an established, really good college player in Tis the Law. And I think that Tis the Law's experience wins this race. I mean, he's the only one in here that's won a grade one. He's won three of them. And he hasn't really missed a step and missed a beat except for when he threw a shoe down in Florida. Barkley Tagg has done just a phenomenal job with him. And he doesn't get the credit he deserves because he's done a great job with this horse, because this horse doesn't seem like anything bothers him, and he doesn't seem to, there's no wear and tear on him, even though, you know, he's only run three times this year, but still he's had to keep him going all year long. So I think that Tis the Law is the horse that should win this race. That's just, and Uncle Chuck, though, I don't know if I'd want to face Uncle Chuck in a month from now, because I think the longer it goes, the better he's going to get. He's going to get a lot out of this race, and he could very well win this race. Maybe he is the real deal. Maybe he is the second coming of Arrogate. I mean, we'll have to see. But Bob is, you know, he's staying in California. He's not coming here. Jimmy Barnes is here to saddle the horse. But, you know, Bob really likes this horse. But he also said, you know, this horse has to show him, another gear today. I mean, he has to show that he belongs in the conversation of a horse that can go to the Derby, and he would need the points if we get to the point where we're going to have 20 horses in the field, which I'm starting to question if we'll have that many. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah, did you ever think you'd see a day where the Travers would be even remotely considered a prep race for the Kentucky Derby?
No, I never thought I'd see the Travers being run on the second weekend in August. I mean, this is just a crazy, crazy time. And I don't know what the meet's going to be like here after the Travers is done, because usually when the Travers is finished, you can feel the excitement just come out of here like a balloon being popped, even though there's no fans here. But there's still some good races to come. I mean, we still have four weekends left here after the Travers, so it'll be interesting to see how this meet moves forward, because another thing too, Mike, is that there's a lot of empty stalls up here because a lot of people didn't come. And I've talked to some trainers, and they're heading out back home to Kentucky very, very soon. Like, Al Stahl's going to leave, I think, on Monday with his group. And I know Ian Wilkes, he's going to have horses here, but he's leaving himself, not to return. You know, Wayne Lucas never came. A lot of these outfits are just bringing up horses to run and, you know, shipping up from New York. Like Linda Rice would usually have 50 horses up here during the meet. She's got, all she's doing now is sending horses up that are going to run. Max Player just got here Wednesday. He trained in New York and at Belmont for this race. So it's just a really weird time. And, you know, out in the backstretch in the mornings, you know, it's usually a very happening, busy, congested place. Now it seems like, you know, the middle of September here, when after the meet is over. It's just a very, very strange dynamic we got here. But and I hope we never have to see it again.
Yeah, amen to that. I'm glad you mentioned Linda Rice. Of course, if she can win the Travers with Max Player today, who was third behind Tis the Law in the Belmont, she'll become the first female trainer to saddle a Travers winner. And she's kind of hanging her hat on the lore of Saratoga in some respects. I read a quote that she gave you that you had tweeted out, and I think she's hoping that the Graveyard of Champions is enough to maybe derail Tis the Law and give Max Player a shot to turn the tables later today.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing, too, Mike, is that you know, there's only been two favorites in the last 12 years that have won this race. So, you know, the graveyard of favorites, the graveyard of champions, whatever they want to call it, it could very well rear its, in the Sacatoga's people's minds, ugly head and you know, fight them, because it's happened before. I mean, it happened last week. Midnight Bisou got beat. Tom's the Tot got beat, even though he stumbled out of the gate and still ran a credible third. But, you know, this place devours favorites. And, you know, it's for his the law's sake in this area. I mean, this area has really hitched its wagons up to Tis the Law. Maybe not to the same extent they did with Funny Side, but this horse has become very, very popular in a short time. And the thing with Funny Side is, you know, he kind of snuck up on people because he was the long shot when he won the Derby. Tis the Law has been the man ever since since February when he started out in the Holy Bull. So I think that there's going to be a lot of people that are hoping and praying and betting on Tis the Law, and there's going to be a lot, I'm sure, watch parties all through the town of Saratoga Springs today, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people that I know. There's a lot of people that wish they could be here, because it's just that that horse has that kind of aura on these people.
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, Timmy, the last New York bred to win the Travers. Do you have to go back to Thunder Rumble in 92?
Thunder Rumble,
or was there
in 92,
another one in between?
Richard O'Connell. Yeah. He won the Jim Dandy at a big price, and then no one really believed in him in the Travers. I think he went off at 7-1, and he won that one. You know, yeah, there hasn't been one since he that has won the Travers. So, you know, there's... To tell you the truth, I don't know if there's been a heck of a lot of them that have run this, but it's also, too, the New York Red program has become such, it's not like it's a big deal that there's a good New York Red. I mean, I remember when Fiorito won the Whitney back in, I think, 1980 or 81. I mean, it was like the blue bloods of Kentucky and everywhere else were just shocked that a New York Red could win a race like the Whitney. But now you have New York Red winning races all over the place, and it's like the program has just come so far, and it's having a horse like Tis the Law as the poster boy now. I'll tell you, it's going to be a big boost for the program. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tim Wilkin is with the Albany Times Union, and he is here on the Horse Racing Radio Network on this Travers morning. Tim, I got about a minute left before I have to get to this commercial. Jockey Manny Franco coming up in the next segment. He'll talk about being aboard Tis the Law later today. Outside of the Travers, is there another horse, another race you're really excited about? Great card today. Is there another horse or two you're looking forward to watching?
Well, a lot of people are going to be looking forward to watching Gamin, the other Baffert runner that just ran a hole in the wind when setting a record down there at Belmont in the Acorn, won by 18 and three-quarter lengths and ran the fastest mile in 90 years. You know, she's coming back in the seventh furlong test. I think she's going to be very, very tough in that one. And a horse I kind of like a little bit is Pink Sands in the Ballerina for Shug. I think that, 10-1 in the morning line, I think there's going to be enough pace for her to make a run at and maybe bring a nice mutual too. I think there'll be speed up front that she can make her run into. So I like Pink Sands and the Ballerina.
Well, Timmy, listen, enjoy Travers Stakes Day. It'll be different. We'll enjoy it from afar, and hopefully next year we'll all be together and we'll do this interview in person.
Sounds great to me, Mike. Hope everything stays well with you guys and stay safe.
Thanks, my friend. You too. Tim Wilkin, Albany Times Union. Again, wouldn't be a Travers morning without an interview with Tim Wilkin. We've been doing it for many years, and he's just fantastic. At TJ Wilkin on Twitter, a great way to follow him. He's on top of all the Travers information, and you can head over there. Again, a scratch from the Travers if you missed it, if you are just joining us. Long shot, first line, who is going to break from post one, is scratched, will not compete, so we're down to a field of seven in there. But still should be one great race, and our coverage coming up 5:30 Eastern. When I come back, I'll visit with jockey Manny Franco, the man aboard Tis the Law, later today. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN. Adina Springs bred and raced Awesome Again's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer, Ghost Sapper.
now one of the most consistently brilliant sires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adena Springs also bred and raced Ghost Zapper's best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
It's going to be a photo finish, and it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward.
Shaman Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Believe in the first Shaman Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdenaStallions.com.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. For the first time, the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks will be run on the same night, Friday, August 28th. This wild and wonderful card features 7 stakes races worth over $1.2 million combined. The special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 28th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch of the Belmont, and Tis the Law has taken charge. Set down in the final furlong by Manny Franco, Tis the Law's got a 2-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law, and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes. They took it by 4 lengths at the end. Dr. Post was second. Max Player was third. Pneumatic was fourth. The final time, a brilliant 146.53. Sacatoga celebrate.
Welcome back. Mike Penna with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry Colmus had the call of the Belmont Stakes and a huge win for New York bred Tis the Law under 25-year-old Puerto Rico native Manny Franco. It was his very first ride in the Belmont, and he is now a perfect 1-for-1 after that victory. We'll hear from Manny coming up in just a second, but want to tell you that Manny, because of his success and because of that big win a month ago in the Belmont Stakes, is our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning. This interview brought to you by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the upcoming major sales. Well, Manny is with me now. Manny, I know it's a busy morning for you. Appreciate the visit, and congratulations on being named the industry star of the week.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. Listen, we heard the call of Tis the Law winning the Belmont coming out of that commercial break. Take me through that race, that performance. He was so good.
Yeah, it was a great performance for him. He did it so easy, and he's a nice horse, you know. Hopefully everything goes the right way today, and we can do the same.
What was your trip like in the Belmont, Manny? Put me in the saddle with you. What was it like?
It was perfect. It was what we're looking for. We were trying to lane close, and that's what we did. He break good, and he take me there, turn. I just sat back and waiting for the moment to move, and he was there for me.
What is it about this horse that makes him so good?
because he does whatever I ask. You know, whatever I ask him to do, he's there for me, and I think that's making him special. You know.
Yeah, you know, many jockeys have told me over the years, Manny, that it's the horse that's underneath you that gives you the confidence when you get aboard. So what kind of confidence do you feel when you get a leg up on Tis the Law?
And he gives me all confidence because he's all class. You know, he knows when the race day is, you know, like, he come prepared, and he always give me all, you know.
You know, I mentioned that huge win in the Belmont, your first Belmont ride, and now you're undefeated in the Belmont Stakes. That sounds pretty good, too. Perfect one for one. How big was that win for you and for your career? What did it mean?
The Belmont means a lot to me because, Belmont is, I call it my house, you know. Winning the big race over there means a lot and helped my career a lot too, you know, to go to that level.
You know, Manny, earlier this year I had a chance to be at Gulfstream and talk with John Velasquez, and we talked about how he prepares to ride in a big race. I believe it was the Florida Derby we were talking about. So, ready to ride in a race like the Belmont or like today's Traverse Stakes? What's Manny Franco do to prepare?
I'm trying to do the same, you know, race the race like another race, you know, but it's different because it's a big race. You got a big horse. Everybody's looking at you. So trying to do the best, you know.
Do you watch a lot of film on the other film? A lot of replays of the other horses that you're going to have to face?
Of course, yeah. You have to look the rebels, you know. Like, you have to see the other horses out there run and take advantage of that.
All right, so write the script for me for today's Travers. You don't have to tell me your exact strategy, but if you could write the script and get the perfect trip, what's that going to look like today?
I'm looking for the same trip of the Belmont, you know. Try to be right there, not too far. But we got to take it from the break, you know.
Yeah, well, he's jockey Manny Franco. Tis the Law, the heavy favorite in the Travers today. He's going to try and get the victory in that one, fresh off that big win in the Belmont. Manny, what is it about jockeys from Puerto Rico? You guys just seem to continue to rack up big wins and be at the top of the list. You look at the Ortiz brothers and Johnny V, and now you're the next in line here. What is it about jockeys from Puerto Rico that makes y'all so good?
We got a good school in Puerto Rico. They prepare us really, really well. You have to be in the school 2 years, learning everything about race horses. And I think that's the key, you know, the school in Puerto Rico.
Did you grow up wanting to be a jockey?
No, I used to play baseball, and that's what I do before, you know. I never think that I'm going to be a jockey.
So how did you get involved with riding horses then?
Because I always follow my dad's step, you know, and he always liked horses, go to the track in Puerto Rico, and I just... Like I say, I follow him, and that way I get involved in the whole race, the sport.
What position did you play in baseball?
Shortstop.
Did you think you were going to play professionally?
Yeah. I was good. But, you know, I was a little bit small, so that's why I don't keep going, you know.
I think you made the right decision, my friend. I mean, almost 1,400 wins later, I think you made the right call to be a jockey.
Thank you.
Jockey Manny Franco here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Manny, listen, I won't keep you. I know it's a busy day for you. Go enjoy the rest of the day. And listen, all the best aboard Tis the Law and all the horses you're aboard today. Safe trip, and go get it done.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right. You got it. Manny Franco here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 25 years old. 1,379 wins to his credit. And you heard him talk about the jockey school in Puerto Rico. And I'm always so impressed when you talk to guys like the veteran John Velasquez. You talk to guys like Irad Ortiz, Jose Ortiz. Number one, they seem to have a pretty good grasp on what their role is in the sport, outside of riding races. Obviously, they're dedicated to their profession and their craft. That's what makes them so good. But they all seem to have this understanding of what their responsibility is outside of riding races. I tell you the story all the time about meeting John Velasquez when I first started the network almost 20 years ago, and how Johnny realized that this was something different that could be good for the sport when I started broadcasting races on radio. He took me into the jocks room at Gulfstream, and he introduced me to guys like Javier Castellano and Jose Lascano and all these different jockeys, and explained to me how to go about getting interviews with them in the proper fashion. And then when the Ortiz brothers came along, they were extremely approachable. And they still are. They haven't changed a bit from the time that they got here. And they understand that there's an obligation that comes along with being that good and being one of the premier jockeys in the sport today. I think Manny Franco is cut from the same cloth. And you heard him talk about how much the Belmont Stakes meant for him. A kid who grew up playing baseball as a shortstop, and as you heard him say, he was pretty good. He had thoughts of playing professionally. You know who else did that? Joel Rosario. Joel grew up thinking he was going to be a baseball player. He made the right call to be a jockey. Javier Castellano grew up playing baseball. I think he realized he was too small to be competitive as a baseball player. Decided to be a jockey. That worked out pretty good for Javier Castellano, too. But we'll see if Manny Franco can guide Tis the Law to victory at the Graveyard of Champions later today. That poll question that I threw out: if Tis the Law does not win today's Traverse Stakes, who's the most likely upsetter? Uncle Chuck, Country Grammar, Max Player, or other? And overwhelmingly, right now, it looks like everybody's leaning toward Uncle Chuck. 49% of HRN Nation saying it's going to be Uncle Chuck. The second choice, no surprise, the second choice on the morning line. But it is the Graveyard of Champions. Crazy things have happened at Saratoga. When I come back, I'll update you one more time on our coverage this afternoon and get you ready for what's going to be a big afternoon of thoroughbred racing. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 132 and 4 fifths. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Soleil Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Katil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caracanti at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky business, 7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, don't forget that inside the August 8th issue of Blood Horse Magazine, you won't want to miss the feature stories that include Carry Forward, trainer Tom Amos's fortunes are on the rise, that story by Evan Hammonds, Derby Dozen, gearing up for the Run for the Roses by Byron King, and Dean Dorton, tax benefit opportunities for charitable donations of horses. All of that inside the August 8th edition of Blood Horse Magazine. You can download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine and tablet today from the App Store or Google Play. And don't miss their special that's going on now to follow the road to the historic Kentucky Derby and Preakness. 10 weekly issues for only $10. You can go to bloodhorse.com/TC to take advantage of that offer. 10 weekly issues for only $10 at Blood Horse. Well, this afternoon, our coverage, 5:30 Eastern, myself and Bobby Newman take you through the Travers and the Test Stakes. And we haven't talked much about the test here this morning, but Tim Wilkin touched on Gamine, the other Bob Baffert trainee, who was just brilliant probably isn't even a strong enough word to describe that performance by Gamine in the Grade 1 Acorn. Drawing off to win by 18 lengths. And the final time, 1:32.2 for a mile. If she comes anywhere close to that today, everybody's running for second place. Now the Test Stakes, 7 furlongs on the main track. Again, part of our coverage this afternoon. So much history in that race, too. So many outstanding fillies that have come through that race and gone on to great things. It's not a win and you're in. The Ballerina, earlier in the card, is the win and you're in for the Filly and Mare Sprint. But don't be surprised if you see a couple of these three-year-old fillies point toward that Filly and Mare Sprint. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. But Gamine, no doubt the horse to beat in there. 3-5 on the morning line under John Velasquez. The horse that figures to maybe be able to put some pressure on her is right to her outside. Number 6, Venetian Harbor. Richard Baltus trains Venetian Harbor. She's run some good races, too. Some really good races. She's a Grade 2 winner. Now we'll have to see if she can step it up and handle a horse like Gamine. But again, Gamine, Graveyard of Champions. Proceed with caution. We'll see how that all works out later today. Should be a fantastic day of racing. Again, Ellis Park has their big day tomorrow with the Ellis Park Derby. Huge day at Del Mar today, too, with a couple of graded stakes. Enjoy the racing coast to coast, everybody, and join us 5:30 Eastern Time. My thanks to Michael Herner from Gainesway, Carlos Martin, Chad Brown, Sean Clancy, Tim Wilkin, and Manny Franco for making this show possible here this morning. For my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studios, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you at 5:30 Eastern with our exclusive radio coverage of the Traverse Stakes this afternoon. Go Steelers!